The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio. From the studios of West Virginia Radio Corporation, the country, the United States of America, the state, West Virginia, the city, Charleston. This is 580 Live, and your host of 580 Live.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
He's kind of a big deal.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dave Allen.
Hey, folks, good Thursday morning to you. It's 580 Live, the voice of Charleston WCHS. Here's Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Caitlin Murphy serving as our producer today. We do the show each Monday through Friday from the Parmar Store studio. If there's not a Parmar Store near you now, there will be soon, including one of Parmar's newest locations, 3442 Amor Road, just off I-79 in Roane County, just not far from the Kanawha County line. You can join Parmar for their grand opening celebration tomorrow starting at noon. Lots of cool prizes, including a $100 Parmar gift card to be given away as well. And remember, there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon. We are loaded up this morning, man. Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney is going to join us in the second segment of the show today. The reaction continues to come in following the judge's decision yesterday on the Hope Scholarship, putting a stop, at least for now, to the Hope Scholarship in West Virginia. And so some of our other guests are going to weigh in on that. One of those is Fred Albert from the American Federation of Teachers, who's going to join us to talk about, to applaud that decision. And then on the other side, Delegate Larry Pack is going to be here, who's not going to be happy with the decision, I would suspect. So we're going to unpack all those things a little bit later on, plus your text and phone calls. Again, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. But before we get to that, Azeem Khan is going to join us. Azeem is a native of Charleston, and he is the chairman of the task force addressing fentanyl on college campuses. He's also president pro tempore of the student government of West Virginia University, and Azeem is with us right now. Azeem, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here, sir. And welcome back to the show. You've been on the show in the past. We've talked on the show before about what an issue that fentanyl is, not just on college campuses, of course, Azeem, but in our everyday lives. A couple of weeks ago, I actually had on a couple of folks from Homeland Security in the state talking about it and some of the laws that the legislature had passed to address it. Tell us about this task force and why is there such a need for it?
Well, Dave, what this task force is a group of students at WVU stepping up to say, we want to do our part to help against this challenge that fentanyl is posing to our state and our country. And so we see each and every single day heroes across our state, whether that be in law enforcement, healthcare, education, and so many other professionals that are doing so much to fight against this crisis that we have in our state. And so we as students, we didn't want to wait 10 years to do our part. We wanted to step up right now and try to help educate our classmates to save lives right now.
Now, understand that this is a collaborative effort. It's obviously, that's the definition of a task force. You have different people. Who are some of the other folks that are involved in this besides the students?
So we have the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District on board with us, as well as the Washington-Baltimore high-intensity drug trafficking area team, as well as the ADAPT team, which is a division for advancing prevention and treatment. And so across these different groups, we've consulted with experts in drug prevention, psychiatry, communication, and criminal justice. And so that makes us really confident that we can run a campaign on our campus that's going to be accurate and effective to help save lives.
Now, and again, we're talking with Azeem Khan, who's a Charleston native, but he's part of this task force addressing fentanyl on college campuses, West Virginia University and others. And it was, Azeem, just a couple of months ago that we heard about the tragic death of a couple of students from Ohio State from fentanyl. And this certainly is a major problem. How big of a problem is it on college campuses? And how big of an issue in your mind is this at West Virginia University specifically?
Well, I think it's a major issue. You know, you're exactly right. Tragically, at Ohio State, two students died from unintentional fentanyl overdoses. And we cannot and we will not wait for a tragedy like that to happen in Morgantown or any college campus in West Virginia. And I think that the challenge is that people don't understand that drugs don't come with an ingredient list. And these greedy drug traffickers are counting on people not to know and the danger that fentanyl poses. They want to try to addict people so that they can make more money. And so what we've got to do to fight back against these greedy drug traffickers is we've got to educate people so that they understand the risk that one pill can kill. And I think that if we do that, we can start to fight back against them and help save lives.
And Azeem, I'll tell you, it is. It was an eye-opening experience for me, as I said about a month or so ago, when I had a couple of folks on from the Department of Homeland Security to talk about it, and they had reached out to me about being on the show. And you know, I'll admit, my knowledge of fentanyl was not probably what it should have been. I obviously realized it was a problem. But I didn't realize the numbers that we're seeing, and you can get into a political debate about where it's coming from all day long. That's not really the point. Is that it's here, and as you said, one pill can kill. That sounds like a cliche, but this is not the drugs that. Well, I mean, as I said on that particular show, I'm a kid of the '80s. I grew up during the Just Say No era, Nancy Reagan, and whatever. This is not the same thing we're talking about, though.
You're absolutely right, and the numbers are scary. Just last year, fentanyl killed 71,238 Americans, and so we can't let that number grow. That's too high, and so you're exactly right that the times have changed, and I think that in the past, people thought that on college campuses that drug experimentation would be okay, but now that the risk is death, and that's a risk that's not worth taking.
Well, and I think it's also very important that we educate parents because, you know, kids are going to do what kids are going to do. I mean, when many of them get away from home and they go away to college, whether it's WVU or anywhere else. And, you know, but I think it's incumbent upon parents and educators to get in these kids' heads, these students' heads, way before they ever drive to Morgantown or Huntington or wherever it is to get on campus.
I completely agree. And that's why. Our efforts, so we're going to be educating students in person, digitally, and on social media. And part of our social media strategy is to reach thousands of parents as well, because you're exactly right that parents need to know what's going on our campus, past parents who maybe have kids that just graduated, as well as future parents of kids on college campuses, so they can start these conversations a little bit earlier. We want to make this information available to everybody, and that's why anybody that's interested can follow us at WVFentanylEDU, and that's where we're going to be sharing our information on social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And I wanted to talk to you about getting the word out via social media because, you know, for those of your generation, you know, you're social media animals. and so it's got to be a multifaceted approach, I would think, because if you want to reach mom and dad, you're probably not going to do that on Instagram or any of those. You're going to have to take the Facebook route or you know, shows like this or television or newspaper or whatever. But getting the word out to those of your generation can be a little bit more difficult.
It absolutely is, and we've got to use a lot of different strategies to make sure that we hit everybody. And so I think one of the really cool things about our task force, Dave, is the students that are on there working with us. We've got almost 12 students right now, and they're from all the regions of our state, geographically diverse across our state, as well as some students that are from out of state because, you know, at WVU, not everybody comes from West Virginia.
Sure,
and so I think that's another powerful tool, that we have voices from different communities across our state who can help share our message to every single corner of West Virginia.
Azeem, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're a Charleston guy, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
That's right. Let's go G-Dub.
I opened up the door. You didn't have to go that far. No, I'm just kidding. You're always welcome on the show. I do appreciate it. I appreciate you taking time to be here. Again, give us the details of where people can learn more about this task force and what it is that you folks are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, please follow us at WVFentanylEDU on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And, Dave, thank you for having me, and thank you to all your listeners for taking the time to listen to me.
All right, Azeem, I appreciate it, man. It is always a pleasure. And your G-Dub comments are always welcome on this show, just so you know.
I appreciate that.
All right, thanks, man. It is 9:17. Azeem Khan, again, Charleston native, is doing some big things up in Morgantown right now, WVU, and heading up this task force, man. I mean, you know, again, as we talked about when we had the folks on from Homeland Security a couple of months ago, you think, you know, that you can talk about drugs, but this is a all drugs are bad, okay? But this is a totally different situation with this fentanyl. So hats off to those folks to trying to get the word out to the moms and dads and students and everybody involved in it. Definitely good work there. So here's Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. 580 Live is brought to you in part by the Charleston Dirty Birds, your hometown baseball team. Go to dirtybirdsbaseball.com. I think I saw that they were rained out last night. They're actually going to do a doubleheader, I think, tonight over at the old ballpark. So again, for more information on that, they're really good. Lindsay and the folks do a great job on keeping up their social media as well. So follow them on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram or any of those, or go to dirtybirdsbaseball.com. The Charleston Dirty Birds, they are your hometown baseball team. We're going to take a break. Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhenney is up next. It's 580 Live on The Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses bring first-class businesses to your community.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade-in, no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the 4th this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for all for C Thornhill. For all details.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair, infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Poca Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Poca Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of their 8 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Poca, Winfield, Glendenin, Spencer, Walton, and now Kanawha City, and let them become your community bank. Visit Poca Valley online at pocavalleybank.com to learn more about their personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe, affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage. 866-GIVE-CAR.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
.21 Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. 580 Live brought to you in part by Huston's Pizza, where this month you can buy any regularly priced 18-inch pizza and get a 2-liter Pepsi at no additional charge. Visit HustonsPizza.com. Forum from the Fruit Pharmacy text line, Dave, yesterday someone mentioned the person in our state that stopped a shooter with a pistol one time out of 300. Mass shootings is not good, buddy. Not good odds, they are, according to the texter. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Let me get this in here because I don't do a good enough job of throwing this out there. You never have to miss an episode of 580 Live or ask the experts or ask the attorney with Harvey Payton or any of those shows. Simply check out the podcast. Go to WCHSnetwork.com. And my particular show, you hit /580Live for subscription options, past shows, etc. Or you can search 580 Live with Dave Allen from your favorite podcast service. And my particular show also available on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Let's go to Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhenney. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Dave. I just did a different kind of on-demand. I absentmindedly dialed your cell phone number instead of the broadcast line for this program. So, Dave is on demand as well, and he's very nice when you call him.
I had just said we got the Brad McElhenney coming up next, and I went to break, and then my cell phone, which is in front of me here on the console, rings, and it says Brad McElhenney on it. And I was like, yeah, Brad, this will work a lot better if you actually call into the studio line as opposed to me holding the cell phone up to the microphone.
I don't know why you couldn't put me on speaker and just hold me up to the microphone.
Trust me, I have done things like that at past stations, so it would not be out of the question. And then we had the issue several months ago where we had a microphone issue in here, and I literally had to have someone from our green room down the hall call into the show when they were actually just a few feet away. But, with all due respect, I did not want to have whoever it was sit on my lap, so I'm not doing that. But we're out of that now. Oh, we had a lot to cover this morning. I want to start off with what's going to dominate the rest of the show this morning. That's the striking down of the Hope Scholarship. Kanawha County Circuit Judge Joanna Tabbitt made that decision yesterday, calling the vouchers unconstitutional. Now, the voucher program was passed by the legislature. And among the things, Brad, the judge says, and this is a quote, "I am troubled. There seems to be no educational standards or accountability to the public," end quote. Now, these were the vouchers, again, that the legislature signed off on. Basically, they were open to students, or parents, I should say, of students that were not going to be attending public school. If I'm correct about that, that was the whole concept, and it was struck down. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, one thing is, you said it's going to dominate the rest of the show, and one thing that struck me yesterday was how active my social media was, and people weren't necessarily aiming their comments at me, but it was debate among members of the public about some people saying that they are very in favor of school choice and outraged by this decision. Others chiming in to say that they think that this scholarship format undercuts and diverts and weakens the public school system. And so there's clearly a lot of opinion among the public, strong feelings. The judge herself, I was a little surprised by how quickly she ruled. She was pretty fired up. The quote that you read, I think, was a reference to the way you get the scholarship, it runs through a board that is associated with the state treasurer's office. Mm-hmm. And they do screen applicants, but I'm not clear on the format or the resources that they may apply to make sure after the fact that the scholarship is used in a way that the rest of the public would consider, useful, responsible, that kind of thing. There's not necessarily a testing standard, that kind of thing as well. So sort of the oversight once the scholarship is in effect was one thing that the judge was questioning. But more than that, the judge questioned the use of public dollars in West Virginia for private schooling. The way you deal with the Hope Scholarship is if you're a student who is leaving the public school system, or if you have never been in it, you're a kindergartner, your family can apply, and you can get an amount related to the school aid formula this year, a little more than $4,000 to apply to private schooling or to your homeschooling expenses, things like expenses related to extracurricular activities or maybe even SAT prep, a variety of things you could potentially use the money for. But the deal is you're leaving the public school system or not going in the first place. This was going to cost probably about $13 million in state money this year. There was a legislative estimate that it could be up to $100 million a year. And, of course, it's an annual cost. Once you've left the public school system, you're probably going to stay out. And that was one thing that troubled the judge. She saw the public education system being undercut, coming and going. On the way out by providing an incentive for students to leave the public school system. And a big hunk then of that school aid formula that's based on per student goes out the door with those students. But secondly, this overall cost, potentially $100 million that would be applied to students leaving the public school system. She just saw it as all in all, diverting resources resources away from public education in a state where that has been an issue almost since the state was formed. How much resource is West Virginia putting into public education, and does it get the support it needs? And this judge concluded no, and said that the Hope Scholarship is null and void, issued both a temporary and what she called a permanent injunction, which was further than I thought she would go. And, you know, that permanent injunction is somewhat misleading, because I think we all saw, even before the hearing probably, the likelihood that this would go to the state Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
And indeed, within a couple of hours, the Attorney General, the Treasurer, and others said, we're going to appeal.
Yeah, and I'm just like you, Brad. Again, we're talking to Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney. I'm just like you yesterday, man. Social media started blowing up as soon as this decision, relatively quick decision, as you said, came out. And you mentioned the Attorney General, Patrick Morris. He has said that there will be an appeal. Several legislators have spoken out. In fact, one of those, Delegate Larry Pack, we had an interview with, and he's actually going to be on the show a little bit later on, the final segment, to talk about it. But some have applauded the decision. I'm also going to have a representative from the American Federation of Teachers in studio in the next segment, immediately following yours, to talk about it. But you're right. It is an issue that really elicits a lot of back and forth between people on social media and in other platforms.
Yeah, it does, you know, and this law in West Virginia is wide open, and it is considered really the broadest in the country. And other states have similar programs, but they're more narrowly defined, for example, to students who are leaving the public school system or feel it is not right for them because they have some sort of disability or a bullying situation. Particular needs, and West Virginia left it wide open to anybody. Didn't necessarily define those, and that's one of the things you're hearing on the pro Hope Scholarship side, is that there are students who have learning disabilities or disabilities one way or another who don't view the public school system, particularly in whatever community they live in, and maybe it's a rural community. Don't view those schools as meeting their needs, and this potentially was a way to go do something else. So I think that's one area where you can certainly be sympathetic to those particular families.
Yeah, and if I can jump in here, Brad, speaking of that, somewhere between 2,000 and, depending on which source you look at, somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 students will be affected, and it's really going to cause some parents some issues, because, I mean, we're, you know, depending on where you live, we're a month or so, a few weeks away from school starting in West Virginia.
Oh, man, I did see some criticism also of the timing, because the Hope Scholarship Board had just gotten very close to finishing the final approval of this year's applicants, more than 3,000. And that's maybe 1% of the total students in West Virginia, but it's for each of those 3,000, that's significant. And here we are, past July 4th, with school coming upon us faster than we realize, and they're going to have to come up with some other solution for their family budget, for where the kids are going to go each day, and it does put them in a jam. I don't know that it's like the court system just sort of happens when it happens, and maybe it would have been better to have just made this decision a few months ago. I don't know if it would have been better or worse to have done it later. I mean, let's say you get halfway through the next school year and kids are used to their schedule and their situation, and then you say, well, the Hope Scholarship is null and void. How do you put it back in the bottle at that point? You know, take the money back, get the kids out of their alternative school. But I agree. If you look at those individual families, it certainly could have put plenty in a jam.
Talking to Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney in 580 Live. 580 Live is brought to you by the Thornhill Auto Group, which red, white, and vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile. More vehicles, more lenders, more options, and more coverage now at Thornhill. Don't miss the red, white, and vroom sale. I just like saying that. Shop anytime online at thornhillautomotive.com. Let's move on to the governor here for a second, Brad. Governor Justice plans to call a special session. Well, it's actually not going to be a special session, I guess, because they're already going to... He's calling for a special session within the interims, I guess is the way to put it, probably later this month to consider a proposal to reduce the state's personal income tax by 10%. What you got on this?
Yeah, so if you want to hear from the governor himself, he's the first guest with Hoppy this morning at 10 o'clock.
Okay, all right.
But my interpretation is, I find it interesting. The legislature and the governor have talked about income taxes for several years now, and they all want to do it, but they haven't been able to agree on the details. So are they going to be able to now? That's one question. The governor did talk about an aggregate 10%. I'm not totally sure what he means by aggregate, except maybe it's different by the different tax brackets. So the details are another question I have. In the past, the governor wanted to cut the entire thing and brag that the state doesn't have a personal income tax and use that to lure residents and businesses. But in this case, he's assessing that the situation calls more for shaving 10% off. It didn't seem he made no reference to have talked about this with legislative leaders, and the early indications from the communications offices with the House and the Senate were that this caught them by surprise. And this special session he's described is coming up in just a couple of weeks. So, maybe they want to do it, but it seems like it might have been sound political strategy to loop them in from the beginning. And then finally, the question I have is, West Virginians have a property tax issue on their general election ballots this coming fall. It's whether to give the legislature the constitutional authority to make changes to property taxes. And particularly the Senate has talked about just acting on that quickly and potentially rolling back property taxes on businesses, the kind of equipment and other things that businesses pay property taxes on, as well as for the average citizens for their vehicles. And so does the math work out? The governor's talking about the income tax being about $250 million. And West Virginia seems right now to have the money for it because budgetarily times are good. But are we also talking about maybe $500 million for property taxes? Does that math work out? So I think there are still a lot of questions, in part because it caught us all by surprise.
We ended the fiscal year with a budget surplus of $1.3 billion, Brad. That's a far cry from where we used to be.
It's impressive, and the governor will take credit, and I think probably deserves credit, for what he calls minding the store, being careful with state spending. But if you look a little further into the details of that $1.3 billion, about half of it is severance tax. Severance tax is up by about $500 million. And, boy, those markets, it's coal, it's natural gas, and prices have been up. It's just been a very unique situation this year. And because the severance taxes themselves are quite fluid from year to year, can you count on this being a continued situation in West Virginia? Or, is it kind of like the circumstances of this year? The income tax cut that he's talking about, it's modest as far as that goes. It's 10%, not a full cut. But, to what degree can the state count on budgetary good times being bankable year after year after year? Or is this, just a special year?
Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney. Again, a lot to uncover with the Hope Scholarship and with the governor calling for the 10% reduction. Lot to cover. That's why we like to have you on, man, because you're pretty knowledgeable when you remember to call the studio line and not my cell phone.
Hey, I'll call you back in just a minute, and then I'll tell you what I really think.
All right, Brad, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, man. 24 minutes away from 10. Let me knock out a couple of texts here. The Supreme Court ruled on a case in Maine only 2 weeks ago, says a texter, that had to do with education vouchers for private schools, and they ruled them to be constitutional. See Carson versus Macon. The Supreme Court decision might overrule Judge Tabbitt's opinion. According to a texter, says, Dave, good. If people don't think public schools are good enough, then let them pay their own way to other schools. Public schools will accommodate any kids. Text says it's beyond time for voters to send Judge Tabbitt packing. We need to remember this when she is up for election. How about a little Christmas in July? Something that puts a smile on everybody's face. Our stations have leftover WVBargain.com items marked as many as much as 60% off. Just go to WCHSnetwork.com, look for the Christmas in July section, and look at all the different items that are available there for almost next to nothing. So be sure and check it out at WCHSnetwork.com. Fred Albert from the American Federation of Teachers is up next. It's 580 Live on The Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses want to thank you for shopping locally.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade-in, no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the 4th this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for all for C-Door. For all details.
Owning a home comes with many privileges. It also comes with responsibilities. The Kanawha County Sheriff's Office wants to remind you of one very important one, making sure your property taxes are paid on time. After October 1st, you'll pay penalties for late payment of property taxes. So please enjoy every benefit of home ownership without burdening yourself with penalties. Call 357-0210 to pay your property taxes before October 1st and avoid penalties. 357-0210.
Be happy and call Pappy. Be happy, call Pappy for heating and cooling. Done right, on time, great service, and at the right price. The name you know, the name you trust. When air quality counts, you can count on us. For new installation or repair, commercial, residential, we'll be there. 304-949-HELP, an ACI Solutions company. Be happy, call Pappy.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
Twenty minutes away from 10. Hey, if you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, check out RX Bytel on Charleston's west side. Ask them about their RX Bypacks. Those are pre-filled pouch systems which divide up your prescription doses perfectly as prescribed by your doctor. RX Bytel on the west side. They are your neighborhood pharmacy. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. I want to welcome in Fred Albert of the American Federation of Teachers. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Mr. Albert and I used to work in the same building. We were just telling building stories, and we'll just leave it at that, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's get right to talking about, and it was the what I was talking about with Brad McElhaney in the previous segment about Judge Tabbitt's ruling yesterday. I would imagine that folks at the American Federation of Teachers are pretty happy with the ruling.
Well, you know, I was in the courtroom yesterday when Judge Tabbitt was hearing the case and made her decision, and it was a packed courtroom, by mm-hmm. the way. Lots of different opinions on this matter, but yes, we agree with Judge Tabbitt. This is not about the freedom or the choice, because we've always had that freedom. And we don't oppose, my union does not oppose the parents' choice of doing whatever they want to do to educate their own children, mm-hmm. be that a private parochial school, homeschooling, whatever their case may be. That's for them to decide. But mm-hmm. this is a constitutional issue. Article 12 of our state constitution says that it is incumbent upon the legislature to provide efficient education, free public education to all of our children. And that's what they're supposed to be doing.
And of course, as you heard Brad and I talking, and it's been on the news, there will be appeals. Attorney General Patrick Morrissey has already stated that. Several legislators, I should say, have said that as well. Your thoughts on that, on what happens next?
We expect that to happen. But, you know, I think we have a very strong situation here. By the way, this case was brought by parents, Peters versus Moore, mm-hmm. Or Beaver versus Moore. One of the parents was her last name is Peters, but this was a case brought by parents who want to preserve public education and the funding for public education. So I think there's a pretty strong case. I know that Attorney General Patrick Morrissey has already said, you know, he plans to appeal. I know several legislators who voted for the HOPE scholarship feel that, you know, appeal is the right route to go. We'll see what happens, but we have faith that this is a pretty strong case. And what Judge Tabbett said was, this is not about choice. This is about upholding the constitutional article that provides for a public education that is fully funded. That's what we need to do, is fully fund our public schools.
Again, we're talking with Fred Albert of the American Federation of Teachers on 580 Live. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is it your belief that parents that have paid their taxes but chose not to send their kids to public school should not be eligible for vouchers of or some kind of aid?
You know, we have choices to make every day. I pay taxes like all citizens of West Virginia should pay. And, you know, I pay taxes that go to support and maintain public roads that I will never drive on. But that's a choice that I make. So we can go to the public library that's funded by public tax dollars and check out a book, or we can choose to go purchase our own books at a bookstore. I wouldn't expect my tax dollars to go purchase my books, my private books, from a private bookstore. The analogy I'm trying to draw there is, we all have choices to make. Mm-hmm. We have public schools that have lots of great services for our students and our families, and then we have private schools. But if I'm going to choose to go to a private school or homeschool my children, I would not expect my tax dollars to provide those resources.
We had a text to the show earlier, and I have not had a chance to research this. Maybe you're familiar with it, about a case in Maine that the Supreme Court there ruled on a case. Similar, very similar situation to here in West Virginia. And the Supreme Court there, I'm assuming it was the Supreme Court of Maine. May have been the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not sure.
I believe it was the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay.
Churches or private parochial schools can receive public funds. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to get to enter into our state constitution.
That's what I was going to ask you.
But I think there is a difference there.
Okay, yeah. Well, and I don't know what their state constitution looks like, in the state of Maine. I'm not aware of that. Let's talk about the state of public schools. We haven't had you on, actually, it's the first time you've been on the show.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Well, I hope it's not the last. I want to have you back on again.
I listen to you every day, by the way.
On purpose?
On purpose.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. What is the state of our public schools? Because, we came through the most horrendous period for educators especially, and parents. And we had the virtual, we had the hybrid, and the godforsaken color codes, and all that stuff. Where are we now with our public schools as we begin to start talking about back to school time here in a couple of weeks?
Well, I'm glad you've asked that question, because we've learned a lot over the last 2 years. You know, I was at a math conference in March of 2020 when the governor made the announcement. That was Friday the 13th, March the 13th, 2020. The governor made an announcement. Schools were going to be remote coming the next Monday, the 16th, I believe it would be. And we've learned a lot since then through this pandemic, but we have survived. It's been a horrible 2 years for our students, for our families, for our educators. But I think because we have learned so much, we're getting better and we're returning to some sense of normalcy. It's a struggle. It's still a struggle. We're struggling to get teachers in West Virginia. We're struggling to get substitutes in West Virginia. You know, in 2015, the State Department's figures show that we had a shortage of, or vacancies of, 600 educators. That has doubled from 2015 to 2021. We now have, at that time, had 1,196 vacancies that we cannot fill with certified teachers. So there's an issue there, and we have to look at, why is that happening? Why are we not attracting young, bright educators into this profession? I still think that public schools offer so much to our children, to our communities, and I think that our legislators should work toward making their commitment to public education even stronger.
I'm going to presume, going back to the decision from yesterday, that your counterpart on the other side, Mr. Lee, with the Education Association, you guys are pretty much on the same page on this.
Sure.
I haven't heard a statement from him.
Yes, Dale Lee is at their national convention in Chicago, okay. Or he would be here in Charleston. Mm-hmm. And we have talked about this. We do agree that we need more support for public education, and taking the voucher route, taking public funds away for private schools or for homeschooling is not a way to fully fund public education.
What is the relationship like? You know, we have a super majority of Republicans in the legislature. Sometimes, not in all cases, but sometimes when you have one side of the aisle, you have the you have unions, and the other side you have Republicans. Sometimes they butt heads a little bit. What is your union's relationship with the legislature like over the last couple of years?
It's been contentious, I will have to say, you know. But I'm there every day. Dale Lee is there every day. We're there every day fighting for public education for our members, for our students, because we strongly support public education. But I think sometimes we agree more than we disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have differences. We have felt the last couple of years that we've been under attack by some legislators that just don't understand what we stand for. You know, we hear all the time, oh, it's the unions that do this to public education. It's the unions that do this. We are there really for our students to protect and to make sure that our schools are good public schools. So while it's contentious, we do try to find common ground where we can, and we are there watching very closely what's happening. We attend the House Education Committee meetings every day, the Senate Education Committee meetings, and other committee meetings where we're involved. So our relationships sometimes are strained, but we try to work where we can.
All right. Fred Albert from the American Federation of Teachers, pleasure having you on the show, sir. Don't let it be the last time you're on. You're always welcome.
I hope it won't be, Dave. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
All right. It is 9:49. Phone calls to 580 Live of Services. Here's Monument Company, offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. Texan services provided by Fruith Pharmacy, your hometown family pharmacy. Going to take a break, and Delegate Larry Pack is up next. It's 580 Live and a Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses live to make life better for you and your family.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade, and no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the 4th this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for all for C-Door. For all details.
Are you feeling uneasy about recent stock market volatility? That may indicate it's time for a financial checkup. Volatility is an unavoidable feature of the market. Your portfolio should be designed to deal with the ups and downs of the market while giving you the peace of mind to live comfortably in retirement. Give me a call or book online today. Your no-cost, no-obligation financial checkup. Retire right with John Burdett, 4thAvenueFinancial.com.
Securities offered through JW Cole Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through JW Cole Advisors Incorporated, JW Cole Financial, JW Cole Advisors, and 4th Avenue Financial are unaffiliated entities.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
9:51. Here's Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruith Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. How'd you like to win 1,000 gallons of free gas? The WCHS Network of Stations plus all of our sister stations teaming up with Todd Judy Ford to give away 1,000 gallons of free gas. Just stop by and register at West Virginia Eye Consultants, Eddie's Tires, T&M Meats Across Lanes, Anytime Fitness of Elkview, and all the Kanawha Valley locations of Parmar Stores and at both locations of Todd Judy Ford on Patrick Street in Charleston, also in Marmette. You can register between now and the 14th. Five finalists will be chosen to join us at Todd Judy Ford on July 30th to see who wins. Brought to you by Todd Judy Ford and the stations of WVRC Media in Charleston. Let me knock out a couple of texts here. Delegate Larry Pack is standing by, and we'll get to him next. Let me knock out a couple of texts here. Let me see. From the Fruith Pharmacy text line, the AFT union openly promotes killing children in the womb. That reality zaps them with any credibility they may have with me, according to a texter. Texter says, Dave, why should the public pay for a child that the parents think needs an expensive religious school? That's what breeding these mass murderers. Parents are Republican hate mongers. So there you go. Let me welcome in Delegate Larry Pack. Delegate Pack, good morning. How are you?
Fine, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking time on your schedule to join us. Now, I'm going to presume your thoughts are pretty much standard with a lot of those on the conservative side and the Republican Party on the injunction against the Hope Scholarship. And they're probably the exact opposite of my previous guest, Mr. Albert from the AFT. So you'll go ahead and speak on that.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Well, it's the ruling is very disappointing, but it was also very, very predictable. It's it's what we've seen with other transformational issues that the legislature and administration have approved. We saw that with the right to work. We've seen that with charter schools, and now we've seen the same thing on Hope Scholarship. The Kanawha County Circuit is. I guess it's very, very much like the Ninth Circuit on the federal level in California. They're very, very much out of step with West Virginians. So, we lost it at the trial level. It will be appealed by various parties to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will make the final decision. And I'm very hopeful that the Supreme Court will reverse, if that's the proper word. What Kanawha County has done, and that Hope Scholarships will be in place by the fall.
Well, as I said, as I was talking with Brad McElhenney earlier, Delegate Pack, and regardless of your thoughts on it, the timing could not have been worse. I mean, with school starting, within a matter of weeks, Judge Tabbitt said what was passed in the legislature was unconstitutional. Your thoughts on that?
Well, she ruled from the bench, and she seemed I wasn't there at the hearing, but from folks that were, she seemed like she had her mind made up when the hearing started. So at some point she'll put her rulings in writing. And of course, it has to be in writing before there is something to appeal, and then she'll have to what her position is will have to be defended at a higher court. We believe it was constitutional. The legislature and administration executive have plenty of lawyers. They vetted it. Whether it's Chairman Trump or Chairman Capito, we feel as a legislature it is constitutional, and we look forward to prevailing at a higher level.
I'll move on to something else here for a moment. During his speech yesterday, the governor said he would like to propose to the legislature a 10% state personal income tax relief package. And a little programming note, the governor is going to be Hoppy's first guest coming up on Talkline after the top of the hour. As he said, it would be taken up during interims, which were already scheduled. Those were scheduled, I guess, in the coming weeks. Your thoughts on that, sir, a proposal for a 10% personal income tax relief package?
I think it's very exciting that that every worker in West Virginia would receive a tax cut. Tax cuts is something that Republicans do. It's something our caucus feels very strongly about. We're very blessed to have a conservative governor who shares our concern and shares the direction. This is something that could happen whether it's in July or August. As soon as it's called into session, it'll be retroactive to January of 22, and it really will do a lot to help offset the inflation tax that the Biden administration has given our population, our citizens. And so, very exciting. Very thankful that the governor's brought it out. Look forward to being able to have the opportunity to vote on it somewhere in the next few weeks or months.
And I would imagine having a supermajority that it shouldn't have any problem going through, in your opinion. Would that be correct?
Republicans like voting for tax cuts, so I would not expect any problem.
I wouldn't expect it to be either. Delegate Pack, anything else on your mind today?
No, sir. That's it. Have a blessed day.
Appreciate All right. You. Thank you a lot. That is Delegate Larry Pack. 4 minutes away from 10, 580 live from the Parmar Store Studio. If there's not a Parmar Store near you now, there will be soon, including one of their newest locations, 3442 Amer Road, just off I-79 in Roan County. The Parmar folks having a grand opening celebration there tomorrow starting at noon with lots of cool prizes, including a $100 Parmar gift card. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5000. We've got some text to get to here, and we'll try to – this actually worked out pretty well timing-wise here. So let me knock out a couple of these text here. One says – having trouble loading here. So much for the constant – progressive talking point that their main concerns are for the children. If so, you'd want the best for each individual student, for some private or homeschooled may be better fit for them despite a parent's ability to afford it alone. I think that was aimed at probably Mr. Albert and folks with the American Federation of Teachers. Texture says, could you ask if the school funding is based on each child enrolled? Wouldn't the public school be losing the money anyway? And it's not like our vouchers would be taking every penny allotted to the public school per child. You know, I don't know the answer to that. We'll look into it. I'm really not sure, but it is a very good point that the texter brings up. Texter says, if you want your child to have a private education, then you pay for it and not the taxpayer, according to a texter. You know, I, as I always say, I don't have kids. I have friends of mine that did homeschool their kids, two or three off the top of my head I can think of, close friends of mine that homeschooled their kids. And as far, you know, and we debate this back and forth about the socialization and things of that nature. And one or two cases of friends of mine doesn't obviously equate to success of homeschooling kids overall. But I will say this, that they turned out pretty darn good and are pretty doing pretty well for themselves. But that I'm sure that there's some that didn't as well. And that's true of schools in general. I have said, though, before, and Mr. Albert talked about this, and this is not political in any way, shape, form, or fashion on my part. I've said before, if there are a couple of professions that I would not go into as much as I think I'd be okay at it, is being a teacher and being a police officer. There's no way you could talk me into going to either one of those professions because they're two of the most underappreciated. And again, that's not political on my part. It's fact. And they talk about being unable to get teachers in West Virginia and other areas of the country, too. But it seems to be a much bigger problem here in West Virginia, one reason or another. But yeah, it's pretty bad situation trying to get people in the into our classroom. Dave, they just read it word for word. Not constitutional in West Virginia. Hello, Mr. Pack. Duh. Well, that was the opinion of the judge. That it wasn't. And we'll see where it goes from here because there's going to be a lot of appeals coming on down the line. So we shall wait and see. 580 Live brought to you in part by the Thornhill Auto Group. It's Red, White, and Vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile Shop anytime online, thornhillautomotive.com. All right. Thank you to all our guests today. Loaded up show today. Thank you so much to all those folks. The governor is coming up on Hoppy's show, Talk Line, coming up after the top of the hour. Follow the news of the day, WCHSnetwork.com and at WVMetroNews.com as well. Coming up tomorrow, our Taylor Books Adopt Me Please Pet of the Week. Hannah will join us from the Kanawha Charles Humane Association. BT and Amanda here tomorrow, maybe as well. We'll see you then. Until then, have fun and love somebody.
WCHSAM, 96.5 FM Charleston, and 104.5 Cross Lanes on WVRC Media Station. We're proud to live here, too.